Hello, hello, hello. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jordan. Pop, pop, pop.
Jesus Christ. Could have made it a little more percussive. Pop, 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 pop.
I'm sorry.
I
told you every time I'm going to make a new noise.
And I always get my butthole just every time.
Anyway, hey, Joe.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's been an interesting week, and it's been an interesting week in television, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting show on Double Trouble Features.
Ooh.
Yeah, what do we got for today?
Well, we're going to kick things off with A Little House of the Dragon. They just dropped those trailers.
I'm ready.
I just want to talk about it. That's all. Then we're going to get into, of course, some movies that we're watching. You're going to be covering Love Lies Bleeding. I'm going to be covering Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
First of all, longest title ever.
It was a book. And there's like, if you just made it Aristotle and Dante, it would have confused a lot of people.
Still a long ass title.
It is. It's hard. It's really difficult to type out. It's really annoying.
Yeah. Then we're going to just talk about our TV show recommendations. God, some good ones. And I got a kind of, actually, both of these are kind of throwback shows. So
yeah, they are.
Yeah, so I'm actually really ready to talk about
honestly,
that.
They were catered directly to us as individuals, as younger millennials.
Yes, they are. And then, of course, we're going to go to our big topic today. Has TV peaked? There's a decline of a lot of shows being made. So
I have some theories. I have some thoughts. Yes. Most of them deal with greed.
Duh. Okay, so for our first topic, quick little topic, the trailers dropped.
Trailers. And it's whoever is in charge of the marketing team over at HBO Max, they do need a raise for House of the Dragon because
That's marketing.
It is marketing. All trailers are marketing, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Fun fact. People tend to forget all trailers are marketing, but stoking the fandom like this, it's literally poking the bear.
Yeah.
And I feel poked.
All right, so if you don't know, House of Dragons Season 2 comes out June 16th. And again, I'm so ready. If you didn't watch the last season, spoiler, one fraction of the Targaryens are trying to get all the houses. They are the true rightful heir.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the king said, "Hey, my firstborn child, you're going to be the first queen."
She said it's going to be her. And that's what it should have been. But then Allison, isn't that her name? Allison misheard the ramblings of an old man, and now we got to go to war.
Now we got to go fucking war because back then there was no people just didn't give a fuck.
No, and it didn't help that everyone was named Aegon.
Yeah,
like girl, come on. And they thought that his daughter was the part of this prophecy.
Yeah,
he thought that she was gonna do all this great stuff, and no, Allison has to go fuck it up. My least favorite part of the show is like we do eventually know how it's going to end.
But the ending, I still think it's.
Oh, I can't wait!
It's a beautiful ending
to see.
But we're not going to spoil the ending for everybody. But we're going to specifically talk about how these trailers came out because they literally are like, "Are you team black? Are you team green?"
Hell yeah! First of all,
and who the fuck is Team Green?
Who is Team Green? I want to know. I just don't understand who could possibly be Team Green because you're on Allison and Otto Hightower's side.
Yeah.
That's who's running the show.
Who wants the towers to be in charge?
It doesn't make any sense to me. And if you're rooting for those snotty ass kids,
oh fuck all
that all look like they bite. It's not even. It's not even, it's so uncomfortable and like, I don't.
Oh, I lost my eye. So now I think I'm a badass and I can just, you know, fucking kill my cousin.
It just doesn't make any sense. The only good thing about this is we're going to get more dragons. We're going to get more beautiful people with white hair.
There's
going to
be
dragons.
Less fucking in this one.
I mean, I hope so. It's more about the kids anyway.
Yeah.
What is this? Kristen? Sir Kristen.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds right.
I don't know.
Kristoff, I don't know. That fuck ass bitch. the one, he still looks mad. He still looks so
mad. They're all fucking mad.
But he just still looks mad because what? He committed pedophilia once and now he's butthurt about it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
He does not have a shit leg to stand on.
I don't get it. But like my whole thing is, I think this is a brilliant marketing
way.
Yes.
It's
because like it wasn't just like you have a couple scenes of one side and then it's the same trailer. It was two completely different trailers.
And it directly plays into the fandoms. If you were pro Team Black or pro Team Green, those would suffice for you. And I hated the Team Green one because I don't know what it is. She plays that part so well.
She actually really, really, really does.
She plays the part so well who plays Allison because I hate her so much. And for you to get me to hate you.
Not on the level of Cersei, though.
Do what?
Not on the level of Cersei, though.
I loved Cersei.
Okay, of course you did.
Yeah, I loved Cersei. Of course you did. That's the thing, though. That's what I'm saying is I usually like the villain. And we all know that that's like my biggest problem in everything. But like, I hate Allison. I hate her and her father. I find them so repugnant, so just smug and so.
But Cersei wasn't smug to you?
Cersei was fun smug.
Oh like, my God. So, you ain't whiny smug.
But no. So for the smugness, I mean, so for them, they have a self-righteousness to them that really irks me. And that definitely falls into like me projecting on things that I see. Because they think they are in the right. They are correct. They are like the law. They think that they have this claim. And they're not even blood. They're high towers. Look at me being a fucking royalist.
Yeah, but I mean, from the dad's perspective, he's like, I'm trying to make a name for my family.
Well, I think
so. Like, I understand, like, from where he's coming from, he's like, no, I got to make this play. I got to make this move.
But he didn't have to. He could have just maintained as the hand. His daughter could have been gone on and married a nice knight, but no, he had to, again, pedophilia. He sold his daughter to that man.
It's just like, to me, the second, again, spoilers from season one, the second you killed my son, oh, we're not talking.
No, exactly.
I don't care. We're throwing hands.
And I think that's where the whole thing comes in with the self-righteousness is like she thinks because she overheard her husband say the name Aegon. She's like, well, she must want Aegon to be king. It was such a jump. It was so because she was like they were all together having a family good time. And she had honestly everything for all intents and purposes relinquished anything over to Rhaenyra. She was like, I'm ready to go. But then because she misheard him, she was like, oh, OK, we're just going to fucking start a war. And then what really pisses me off is she acted like she didn't think that was going to happen. What did you think was going to happen when you sent your psychopath son with a fucking eye patch.
That's the fucking eye patch.
On his dragon down to like meet where she knows that that little one, Rhaenyra's kid, is going to be. What did she think was going to happen?
That's the whole thing. It's just, I think from Alice's standpoint of like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you said you were good. You said, hey, we're fine. And then all of a sudden, because a couple words, you think, oh, if I just say no, this is what he said, we're just going to be fine with you thought that they were going to be fine with
and,
that?
And,
this is over the throne.
And that's the thing is like, and I think that's my biggest problem with the High Towers is like, they pulled the trigger first.
Yeah, they got the first shot.
They killed the kid. They killed the kid, and that's what triggered all of this. And they were the ones who were like rushing.
But that ending scene, though, oh, you saw her face. You're like, that gave me chills.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
So from the trailers, it looked really good. Like it looked again set pieces. It's Game of Thrones. It's going to be
such
amazing.
It's such a good cast. It's just such a good cast. They did everything so. Oh, God, if you. At least Game of Thrones, the one thing they're going to spend money on is this show.
Yeah. And so, guys, kind of like Love is Blind, when Game of Thrones happens, we're going to talk about every single episode
Oh, we are? This is news to me, but I'm down. Let's go.
This is the announcement. Each episode, we're going to talk about an episode of Game of Thrones and our reactions to it. Ugh. And trust me, cannot wait.
All right. So now we're going to be talking about some of the movies we watched this week. What did you watch, Jordan?
All right. So if you're in a mood for, you know, some love and love A24, I got a good, I would say good movie.
Okay.
I'll say a good movie for you. It's called Love Lies Bleeding. Director's Rose Glass. It's got Kristen Stewart in it. She's the main role. And Kathy O'Brien. I would give it a solid 6.
A solid 6.
Solid 6.
Okay.
To be honest, guys, I'll give this movie a solid 8 if it wasn't for the ending. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I'm just going to say, unless you are a real film buff and understand deep metaphoric stuff like that, I'm a pretty smart guy. Did not understand ending. But let me tell you kind of the premise. So Kristen Stewart, her character's Lou. Mm-hmm. She is a gym manager. So she just hangs out at the gym. She's the only known lesbian in town.
Good.
So everybody knows that she's a lesbian.
Gotta love being the lone lesbian.
So you have Kathy O'Brien. She plays Jackie. Jackie is from Oklahoma, and she's trying to go to this bodybuilding competition. And she just ditches home and is just walking, hitchhiking across America to get to Las Vegas.
Wow. Wait, this is in Las Vegas? This is a town on the way to Las Vegas?
Yeah, this is in Nevada.
I was like, girl, the only lesbian in Las Vegas? Jesus.
Yeah. No, this is all takes place in Nevada. And it's a period piece, so it takes place in the 80s, like mid-80s. And so Jackie's homeless again, and she's coming all the way down. She's trying to find, you know, people to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes across Dave Franco.
Hell yeah.
And Dave Franco said, hey, I'll get you a job if you let me fuck you.
Jesus.
And
so
fucking Kathy O'Brien's Jackie is like, fuck yeah. Because she's homeless. She has no money.
But Jesus.
So again,
I don't think the Franco brothers can be playing around with roles like that.
So again, Jackie is jacked. Like she's bigger than me in this movie.
I mean, yeah, she's sure as fuck bigger than Dave Franco.
Yeah,
he's a little guy. He's a little guy.
Turns out Dave Franco is married to Kristen Stewart's sister.
Oh, geez.
So that's her brother-in-law. But Jackie turns up at the gym, and Kristen Stewart's eyeing her. She's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But then Jackie, some guys are hitting on Jackie because, you know, she's the hot thing at the gym. She's gorgeous, by the way. Kathy O'Brien was not on my radar. She's gorgeous.
What I find really interesting about her is she is so beautiful, like undeniably, and so strong.
Yeah.
And like that's something that I feel
her
like.
Her vein was popping in this movie.
I mean, maybe I'm bi for bodybuilders.
Maybe. But so Kristen Stewart goes outside. She's like, oh, she's straight. And then Jackie is like, hey, what's up, girl? And then the guys are like, nah, come on. She's lesbian in this entire town. And she's like, fuck you. Gets in a fight with the guys. Then they're like, Kristen Stewart.
The appropriate response.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart like brings her back in. And then they kind of bond. And then it like starts to become a love story. You start to like, oh, they're like developing this connection and stuff like that. They're finding love. Hey, they have sex. Then it's like, Jackie's like, hey, next time you're making me an omelet, can you make it with no yolk only? Because she's a bodybuilder. And so her whole goal is she wants to go into this body competition that's happening in Vegas. That's her whole goal.
Okay.
But she's finally discovering like who she is and is like really accepting of like, you know, being a lesbian. While, like, Kristen Stewart been knowing she's lesbian since like day one.
Yeah.
And so like it starts to develop into this like nice, cute little love story of like, you know, two like lesbians like finding themselves. Until Dave Franco's character. Now, Dave Franco's character is a very abusive guy. Beats the shit out of Kristen Stewart's, you know, sister.
Jesus.
But it happens throughout the movie. Like, you know what's happening. And so, eventually, like, he beats the shit out of her to the point that like, she has to go to the hospital. And that's when Jackie and Lou are like, what the fuck? Lou is a recovering, like she's addicted to like nicotine. Like she listens to these like self-help like videos about trying to quit smoking and stuff like that.
They didn't have Juuls and Zines back then.
No, they didn't.
God.
Because that's so much better. but because of this relationship, it's making it much harder for her and she's feeding into those addictions. And then she shows Jackie steroids. And Jackie's like, oh, like, I'm all natural. I don't need it. And she's like, are you sure? Like, I get it from the guys. Like, if you want some. And she's like, fuck it. And so then she starts taking these steroids and, like, you know, getting big, trying to be good for the competition. Turns out she gets addicted to them.
Fun.
And then Dave Franco beats the shit out of Lou's sister. Lou fucking loses her mind. She gets fucking pissed and everything like that. She tells Jackie, she's like, I wish he was dead. You know, I wish. And then Jackie fucking rages out. Like, goes into a steroid rage.
Like, full Hulk.
Full Hulk. She-Hulk. And then fucking goes to Dave Franco's home and fucking murders him.
This is just the plot of Goodbye Earl.
That kind of.
We have Marianne and Wanda, who are the best of friends.
But what I just told you was the first part of the movie.
Yeah, I'm
like you think you can kind of figure out the ending. Like you think, oh, like something is going to happen, blah blah blah. No, that's the whole first like setup. That sets up the whole movie. And then because of what Jackie killing Dave Franco's character does, a lot more shit. So at first, this entire movie is a romance. You think this is going to be a romantic drama. You think that it's somebody's just going to die. And then, like, we start getting into the drama and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, oh, do I stick? Like, you know, like lesbians going through, like, their sexuality. So, like, you think that's what's going to happen. Nope. It turns into a whole fucking thriller of, like, people getting fucking murdered, people got to kill, people are trying to survive, hide out, and everything like that.
So a true A24 love film.
It turns into a, yes. It turns into, like, fucking gang violence and everything like that, like gangs and shit.
Jesus.
And it's crazy.
All because Dave Franco died.
And when I tell you, like, Dave Franco died, you thought this is great. Oh, it gets 10 times better after that. Like, the whole time, after he dies, I'm strapped in. I was strapped in the whole time. I'm like, okay, where's this movie going? And it just keeps turning and turning and turning. And you're like, holy shit. Good as fucking movie. The end, not going to spoil it, not going to say it, does not make sense. The very end does not make sense.
I need to go see this and see if I can understand, because he did spoil it for me a little. But now I want to go back and see if I understand why, or if I picked up on it, or if I can pick up the little cues that maybe you might have missed.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of cues with it. So, again, she's hulking out because she's addicted to steroids. And all she cares about is this body competition the entire time. So, like, one the funniest part about this movie is she just killed Dave Franco. Kristen Stewart goes to her like, what the fuck did you just do? And then the next day she's like, hey, I can't wait for the bodybuilding competition. She's like, bitch, you just killed the man. We need to lay low. And she's like, no, I'm definitely going to this bodybuilding competition.
He was a missing person who nobody missed at all. All I'm hearing is.
Yes. So when I tell you, great movie, fun, love, if you want some love, a little bit of drama, a little bit of crime, a little bit of, you know, murder, there's a couple action scenes too.
Ooh.
It's kind of all over the place, but it fits well, except for the very fucking end. Okay? I'm not kidding. The end throws it off. So it was an 8 for me until the very end turned into a 6.
Oh, and that just shows the power of an ending.
Yeah, I walked out with a couple of random people, and I was like, did you understand the ending? They were like, fuck no. And I was like, okay. So good ride. Great ride. Just...
I wouldn't want a lesbian film to end any other way.
Speaking of lesbians, Aristotle and Dante, are they lesbians?
No, they are not lesbians, but they are little gay boys living in El Paso, Texas, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I guess this is a gay episode, you know?
It did get a little gay. I mean, there's House of the Dragons, that's pretty gay and just in general. But no, Aristotle and Dante discover the secrets of the universe. Here's the thing that I need to stop happening. I am so tired of watching traumatizing films. Films about watching teenagers go through the most horrific, like, we've seen the coming out stories. It needs to end. That being said, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10 because it did have a happy ending. To everyone out there, if you were wondering, it does have a happy ending, but god damn it, I had to cry so much to get there.
So somebody comes at the end?
These are teenagers. God.
Did you not come as a teenager?
Never once. but no, so what this movie is about, it's about this boy Aristotle, goes by Ari. He is Mexican, lives in El Paso, Texas. If you don't know, El Paso, Texas is a very big border town. There's a lot of Mexican culture in El Paso, Texas. And so he's just traditional Mexican family. And they're just going about their lives, all that fun stuff. Can't swim. It's summer. He has nothing to do. He goes and hangs out by the pool, but he's just sitting on the pool there. And then there's this new guy who pops up. His name's Dante. He's mixed. He's half white, half Mexican. His mother is Eva Longoria. And watching.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Watching Eva Longoria play the supportive mother is just like chef's kiss, exactly what
she's
I needed.
She's aged like fine wine, too.
She doesn't look any different, so yeah, I guess.
Exactly.
And what's really annoying is I'm watching Desperate Housewives right now for the first time, and watching these two concurrently was abrupt. But, so what it is, they become best friends, like biffles for life, because Ari, he doesn't really have any friends. He doesn't like hanging around people because he's like, I always knew I was different from people. I don't really know why. He's just like, I'm just a different person. So then he meets Dante, and Dante is like this super eclectic, kind of like dorky kid. He likes to read. Both of his parents are like professors, and he wants to read, and he wants to do all these things, and he has all these hobbies and these interests, and Ari just doesn't have any of that. He's like, I'm a poor Mexican kid. I don't have hobbies. What are you fucking talking about? And so they kind of go in, and how their friendship forms is they're like sitting on the side, and he's like, I'll teach you how to swim. And so they start hanging out all the time, you know, at the pool. Then they become best friends, and they kind of just keep going into it. But then Dante's dad gets a job in Chicago, and they have to go away for a year because it's like a moving professor job or whatever.
Yeah.
So he is like, but I'll write you. Please write me back. So they're going through all of this stuff. They're living their lives by themselves, and they're really kind of just like continuing their friendship, but from a distance. And so they get to tell each other about, and it's all letters because this isn't like the, I couldn't tell if it was late 80s, early 90s. I feel like the 80s and 90s are kind of starting to blur a little in terms of like aesthetic.
They 100% are.
And it's so like, I couldn't really tell exactly what time it, but they were writing letters to each other. And Dante is telling him about it. Like, they're talking about girls that they're dating and that they're talking to, all this stuff. But then Dante is like, I realize I don't like making out with my girlfriend, and I think I'm actually gay. Ari doesn't know what to do with his information. He just kind of like, he's just like.
On a letter.
Yeah, on a letter. and he just doesn't know what to do with it.
That'd be like days. That's like weeks. Like,
so
back then.
Yeah. So you really get to see their relationship flourish, but then Dante comes back. Ooh. Dante comes back for summer, and you get to see their reunion and all this stuff. But oh my God, from there on out, trauma, trauma, trauma. It was just like watching. Ari was still trying to figure himself out. Dante kind of knew what he wanted, and it was very simple. But like, they hang out, all the stuff, and Dante just and they're hanging out. And he goes, Dante goes, I want to talk about the letter. I want to talk about it. He's like, I need to know that you're going to be my friend. If you're not going to be my friend, I cannot continue this. He's like, I need you to know that you will be there for me. And Aristotle says, I only have one rule: no kissing. He's just
butt
like
stuff.
These are children.
Children do butt stuff.
You're okay. Jesus Christ. You're please cut that out.
Hey, I'm an ex-teacher.
Please
man.
Cut that
I'm
out.
I'm an ex-teacher. They've told me some things.
At least say teenagers. Jesus.
Are they not teenagers?
They are teenagers. Okay, but there you go. But then again, they're still children in my eyes. So I'm sitting there and he was just like, okay, but no kissing. And so then they just go about their day and all this stuff, but then it gets brought up again. And that's what I'm going to leave you with, because like I said, after that, it is just trauma. There is a happy ending, but we have to fight through a lot to get there. It's just so much. And I cried for like this entire second half of the film. Personally,
so like, would you say like it's a more sadder movie than like happy?
That's really hard because it does have a happy ending, but like, it is
a sad,
but it's
a,
it's about two gay Mexican kids in the 90s. Like it's going to be sad. You know what I mean? Like there's no happy way out of this. Luckily the parents aren't the problem really. It's like people around them, how they perceive
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah.
And it really is a coming of age film more than anything.
Okay.
But it's just, so it was just so hard to watch because I've gone through a lot of these things and I've gone through some of these conversations with these friends of being like, you can be gay, man, but just don't touch me. And I was like, I wasn't going to, but like, Jesus Christ. And then
hey, Joe, don't touch me. I'm just going.
I don't think I have.
I'm just going to put that on.
We're going to have this conversation now.
Yeah. Right now.
How long have we been friends? About 5 years.
It's been 6 years, man.
Yeah. I said about.
Don't touch me.
I won't.
The gay will run up, rub
we're,
off.
We're safe. Your wife is upstairs.
She is.
But no, I rate this movie an 8 out of 10. It was very well done. Very well, like the shots were really beautiful.
Who's it? Do you know who produced it? Or what's it on? What you watching on?
It is on Stars. So
hell yeah,
it is on Stars. So
hell
if
yeah.
you're
shout out Stars.
If you got the, I love Stars so much.
I'm not gonna, okay, being honest. Growing up, because we had HBO, we didn't have Cinemax.
Okay, Rich.
We had, yeah. My mom was like, if I'm having cable, I'm having it all.
I wish my parents had.
So we had Showtime. I watched Stars probably more than anything.
Yeah, they have some good movies over there. It's like those random movies like Aristotle Donate,
yeah.
Discover the Secrets of the Universe. It's good stuff. But they also have really good original programming as well.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, I'm not paying for Stars.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. We shared, you know, don't tell on me, internet, but shared subscriptions. I don't pay for it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But no, good movie.
Good movie. Definitely watch, especially if you're gay and want to cry.
Okay. All right. So this is the part where we talk about TV shows. And guys, this is a millennial part. This is a young millennial. Ugh. People who grew up watching TV shows on Saturdays and Tuesday nights. All right. I'm like, okay. So the show I'm talking about, it's a brand new show that's on Peacock. Highly recommend. It's called Deal or No Deal Island. And if you did not grow up with Deal or No Deal, I'm too old for you. Okay. This show, first of all, original Deal or No Deal. One of the greatest shows I think I've ever watched.
Like, I mean,
competition shows back in the day.
I mean, the stakes were so high.
Stakes were so high.
And you could cop out. That's the thing. It's like basically testing if you're, how far are you willing to go?
So literally, guys, like this brings back childhood memories of like me being like 8.
Yep.
Sitting at on the couch with my mom because that was the only TV and she had control. Mm-hmm. So we were watching what she wants to watch. But it was just like the original premise. You have 20 different cases. And it goes from like $1 to $1 million. And you choose one case. And then the dealer. And then all of a sudden you get to get rid of some cases. So let's say the first round you get rid of like 5 cases. The banker would then be like, all right, based on what cases got eliminated, I'm going to offer you a deal. Sometimes it's a good deal. Sometimes it's a bad deal.
And it's all based off of what's on the board still.
Yeah. And so you can either say deal or no deal. A lot of people try to keep going and lost. A lot of people. Me, I would easily take these deals a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'd rather rock out with 50K than nothing.
Yeah.
But they decided to make an entire reality TV show over it. Because Howie's now doing, what is it, America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Yeah. So the new TV show, again, if you're millennial, you probably watch Survivor. We weren't a Survivor household.
But I still watch Survivor. I watched Survivor last night. It's getting crazy over on Survivor.
They got to do something. It's been 20 years. But now, so the host is Joe Manganiello. Okay. Here's the premise. All right. So they got like 12 people all going to this island. The banker, he's like, oh, I'm the rich banker guy.
Yeah. But it's like Cayman Islands kind of banker. Yeah. Like we have secret offshore accounts banker.
Yes. But you never see the banker. And Joe, he's the host. And he's like, hey, you guys have a potential, one person has a potential to win $200 million.
That's fucking crazy. That's an insane amount of money.
Insane amount of money. Okay. And judging from it, nobody's going to, like, there's no way that you're getting close to $200 million. And I mean, pretty sure they planned it, but.
That's a fifth of $1 billion.
Yes. There's no way anybody's getting that kind of money, but there's technically a chance.
You could win $200 million. That's
so
crazy.
Here's what happens. Everybody plays games, right? We play these different challenges. And what happens is, usually it's in the form of who gets the most money, okay? So, like, the very first challenge was you have to go through, like, this swamp, and it's super muddy, and you have to pick a random case, and if you are not the bottom, if you're the bottom two cases, then you're up for elimination. If you're the top case, then you are safe from immunity. And then you get to choose who goes home.
Jesus.
Or who is eliminated. But then there's sometimes a steal. Some people can steal. The banker has like secret little random plots that are like, hey, this might cost you some time. This might take a little bit longer. But if you do this certain task, I might reward you. And so you have these people that are kind of like backstabbing other people and kind of, oh, I'm going to do this.
A reality show with forced drama, not drama that like people pertain or like might happen or like producers push. But I love a
the
reality
stake
show.
Is just you have there has to be drama for this to
yes.
work.
This is why I like The Traitors, because there are people in the show literally meant to betray you.
Oh, Boston Rob from Survivor.
I saw that.
Is on it. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I want villains, you know, to like. Because you need villains for entertainment.
I'm so team villains.
Oh, he's perfect.
I'm so team villains on anything.
Boston. So the thing about Boston Rob is like, so if you don't know who Boston Rob is, he is like the ultimate villain for Survivor.
Yes.
Literally, he was on Heroes versus Villains.
Mm-hmm.
He's a villain through and through, and he won Survivor. He's on this. And he's still him.
And he's like...
He's still him.
Isn't he like one of the only ones from previous shows? Like they all seem like... A lot of them are like normies.
Yeah.
I did see...
Everybody's normal except for him.
I did see some of the first episode. I was really confused by that.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, he still is him. Like it was like, hey... Like they had to do like a crossbow challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the challenges is you had one person how to climb a fucking tree, get arrows, then come back down, give the arrows to a person.
Oh, my God.
And then the other person, the other teammate, has to shoot at the cases. The bigger, the smaller the case value is, the bigger the target.
Mm-hmm.
So the $1 million one, or the $1.5 million one was hard to hit. And then, of course, Boston Rob hit that bitch.
Oh.
He's like, the thing is, he's him and he backs it up.
Well, but he's been playing these games for years.
Yes.
You think he's never had any kind of archery training?
Yes, no, the dude is nice.
Some of these game players, like, they are gamers and they train for this shit, and it's crazy.
He has a beer gut, but he is him.
Oh, I kind of like the beer gut. I kind of just want to watch Boston Rob and Joe Manganiello make out for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a great day for me. I mean, please, Joe and Rob, do the world a favor.
But anyway, so the whole premise is, okay, all the cases that got picked up, somebody gets last, okay? Or the top person who wins has to choose somebody to eliminate. That's where the drama and everything like that comes in and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then you choose to eliminate one person. The person you choose then has to play a game of Deal or No Deal.
What?
Yes.
What? They have to go through all of that and then play a game of Deal or No Deal?
So then the person who's last plays a game of Deal or No Deal. And so then all the cases that they just got go on one side, and then the banker puts on bullshit cases to fill it up.
Huh.
So, like, let's say, like, we got 10 cases, like, from ranging from, like, $100,000 to $1 million.
Yeah,
he'll put on $750 to a penny. Then you have to play a game of Deal or No Deal, bro. I don't remember Deal or No Deal being this hard, but they're like first round, 10 cases go. Like, you have to cut it in half.
Oh,
and I'm just like,
God.
Oh my Jesus Christ! And so, like, they're just picking through them. And so here's the thing: the goal is, If you get, so again, like, for Deal or No Deal, the banker will give you deals. If you take a deal, it has to be a good deal, meaning the deal is worth more than what case you picked. So if I chose a 750 case, whatever deal the banker gives me has to be more than 750. Or if I picked the $1 million case, it has to be less than $1 million.
So, okay, so then...
So, if I get a good deal, I don't go home. I then get to choose anybody I want to eliminate.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not.
What?
If you lose, you go home. So, it's...
Oh, my God.
So, it's deal or no deal.
And then, is that person who... Are they still safe if...
The person who won is immune. They are not.
Okay.
And sometimes they team up, so, like, a team is immune, and you have to pick somebody else.
Gotcha.
But, like, usually the winner is immune and cannot be kicked off. But, bro, it's so intense, because the thing is, in this game, or in original Deal or No Deal, you could take a bullshit deal. You know it's a bad deal. You know you're not making that much money, but at least you're taking home something.
Yeah.
In this, whatever deal or whatever's in your case is left, that goes into a pot. You don't take that money home. And what happens is, over the course of like 12 episodes, that pot gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And whoever's last, whoever wins all these competitions, then gets to play Deal or No Deal.
Oh.
And gets to play for the mega pot.
I cannot imagine having to go through all of that just to have to. This is part of the reason I didn't become a teacher, was because you want me to go through 4 years of school and then one test determines if I become a teacher or not.
I mean, that's a lot of jobs, though.
No, it's not.
It's a lot of jobs. But anyway, yes.
But that's why I didn't do it.
But yes. So you have to go through all this bullshit, and at the end, you can still come home with nothing. So you could go 12 whole fucking, I don't know if it's days or weeks or whatever, but 12 whole episodes and still not come home with that much money. So again, like, at least for the, so right now, currently, there's only 4 episodes out. So on the first four episodes, the most we've gotten to is like $2 million. So like there's millions of dollars each time. But like at least like I'm not going to tell you exact numbers, but some numbers are like, oh, only like $60,000 gets put in a pot. $200,000 gets put in a pot.
This is so stressful.
No, it's super stressful because, again, it's not – because, like, there was this one point where the fucking banker is a dick.
He's always a dick.
It's like they had a – they had the 100, they had the 300 and 500, and then they had the fucking $500,000 one. And he says, oh, I'm going to make it fucking hard for you. And puts that bitch super high. And it's just like, take that deal or no deal. Because remember, you want it to be, you want the deal to be better than what you have in your case.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you what was in the case. I'm not going to tell you what's in the case.
Oh my
God. It's tempting.
Now I got to go watch it. You're right. I have
especially
to
like, because again, the banker knows what's in each case.
Yeah.
So the odds would in that scenario would be in your favor.
Yeah.
But you never know. Ugh. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's entertaining, but it does bring back that whole like Deal or No Deal nostalgia, but with its own little twist of Survivor, which yeah. I do like. It's very enjoyable. I give it a solid 8. Yeah. There's this one guy who's like the biggest fucking nerdy dude. Like the
I
weak,
saw him,
weak,
and I'm obsessed with him.
The weak, feeble, giant nose.
Yeah. I love
fucking
him.
Nerd.
I want him and Rob to become best friends.
Literally half the women on them were like, oh, I'm going to like team up with him. I want him, me and him to be last because I know I can take him.
Oh my God.
Like that's how feeble he is.
They
literally say, I can take this.
Oh my God. Well, all
he's got to be like 19 or something.
All for beating up 19-year-olds with big noses.
Yeah. But anyway, talking about nostalgia, about a show that I'm definitely going to watch.
Girl. Okay. So I watched the first two episodes of X-Men 97. They're the only ones out right now on Disney Plus. They did not miss with this one. I'm not fucking kidding you. First of all, a lot of the original voice actors came back from the original X-Men. A lot of them did.
Oh my
so
God.
It sounds the same, but it's just a perfect. So what it is, it picks up basically a year after the original series left off. And basically Charles had something wrong with him and he had to go to space and he's like, I have to leave my X-Men. And it was a big cliffhanger, to be honest. And a lot of people were upset about it at the time. Well, now they zoom in on present day. This is the first 10 seconds of the show, so I'm not spoiling anything. But they just presume Charles Xavier is dead. They say he's dead, and that's what they think happened. And so now what we see is Jean and Scott, Cyclops, they both are taking up the mantle of Charles and what it is that Charles wanted at the end of the day, which was equal rights and coexistence between mutants and humans. And it's I can understand why people would feel a little wokeness in it. But here's the thing.
Bro,
X-Men has always been woke.
Bro, X-Men is
like
the definition of like.
That's the whole point
whole
of
premise.
X-Men is. And like, and even, and I watched a clip and even Stan Lee was like, yes. Like, what do you, he's like, maybe it didn't like initially turn out that way or start out that way. He's like, but at the end of the day, this became about civil rights and it is about civil rights. Like, it's about gender. It's about being
like, that's like being honest, like it's all like as a black man, like that was literally one of the reasons why, like I really identify with the X-Men.
Same
like,
as a gay man. Same as a gay man, because all of those X-Men movies came out when we were kids. And I mean, we got a barrage of X-Men. We were a little spoiled as kids, I feel like, because we just got a lot of good X-Men movies. The most recent X-Men movies, I still love wholeheartedly. They tried to embody a lot of, I feel like.
The last one was terrible.
The Dark Phoenix. Is that the last one?
Was that the last one? Was Sansa?
Yeah.
Sophie.
Yeah. Turner. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. That was terrible. That was god awful.
I just we can get into that, but I mean, I just honestly the most recent X-Men films, I think that they just suffer from not knowing where to go because
First Class was great.
First Class was great. I really liked Apocalypse as well.
Apocalypse okay.
I really liked it as well, but like I said, like they just didn't know where they're going. But this show, I think this show hits all of those, like it scratches all of those itches that we were that we were wanting from those movies. First Class, all those, because you're seeing like kind of a different side of the X-Men. Charles Xavier is now passed, but it's like still nostalgic because it's 90s and it's 97.
Yeah.
And oh my God, everyone talking about how Gambit's bi now because he wore a crop top. People in the 90s wore crop tops. Now that faux hawk though, that thing he's got going on, maybe you have a little bit of leg to stand on there. But no, it was just, first of all, the animation is just perfect, spot on.
Look beautiful. It looked like they took the original and updated it and just added just a little bit more flair
There's just a little more flair. There's a lot more color. The
vibrant.
The way that they play with color, it feels like you're watching a comic book movie come to life. And I've never really seen it like that because it's got almost a 3D element to it. So here's my biggest thing. For people who say that 2D animation is dead, fuck off. First of all.
Not at all.
First of all, who won Best Animated? It wasn't a 3D animation. It was Studio Ghibli.
Facts.
X-Men, this story, I don't think could be told in that vein, and it wouldn't hit as hard. And maybe that's just my nostalgia talking, and I'm willing to admit that.
I think it is.
But there were parts of the show where like my jaw was on the floor because I did not think that they could do it this well. I didn't. I thought it was going to be another chopped up, like whatever, blah, 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 blah. But this
is a cash grab.
It's a cash grab. But it's done really well. You can tell there's a lot of action in it, which is what I really like. I feel like a lot of modern day like animated shows, whatever. There's one big fight scene and that's it. And
back in the day, that's all action hero movies were, or TV shows were. It's like, we're just fighting.
And it's so smooth. It made me like Scott Summers, which is a very hard thing to do. He was always a goody two shoes. Charles Xavier man. Says. It, like, this show made me like be okay with Cyclops. Also, Jean Grey is pregnant. She got a baby on the way, bun in the oven. She's waiting for that. That's a big storyline. But no, it's done so well. It scratches all the itches. Yes. It just hits every nerdy fandom, anything. There is a lot of fan service, but like I'm a fan and I want to be serviced. I don't understand people who complain about fan service.
Only if it's like super
But how does that hurt somebody who's not even a fan?
Because if you're not a fan, then it doesn't make sense. But no, I get what you're saying.
I've just never understood. Like they're like, oh, why would we want to service our fans? That would be crazy. I understand some far out there ones.
Yeah.
But like this, I think it does it perfectly. The way they up everyone's just powers and the way they use them, and it shows how far animation has come. Because I mean,
I would hope in 30 years.
But there are some scenes with like Cyclops and Storm. I mean, there's this. It's already famous on TikTok or Twitter. I'm sure you've seen it. But it, like the robots go Omega level threat detected, and then Storm literally just walks in and blasts them all to fucking hell. It is so beautiful.
Oh my God,
there is a little bit of a twist in it that there's a couple twists that actually did make my jaw drop, and it set the season up to. I really enjoyed how it was paced because it brought us back into the fold. It made us nice and comfortable, and then it was like, but here's where we're going with this.
Like, does it like talk about the past, like? Shows at all, like does it like kind of bring up like some of the history?
Oh,
kind of, like,
oh, bring, for sure. Well, okay. So I'm okay. Well, I'm gonna spoil one thing. It's the first two episodes, so don't like sue me. This happens in the first episode. But it turns out Charles Xavier actually left the school to Magneto. He left
What?
Girl, he left what? Everything to Magneto.
What? Oh, I saw that in the trailer. Yeah. Yeah, that was the very end of the trailer.
In his last will and testament. Okay, good. Then I didn't spoil it. But in his last will and testament, he was like, Charles Xavier said, I bequeath everything to Magneto. And it's all to get Magneto to fucking do the right thing for once. Don't be a psychomaniac. Yeah. Try doing that. He's like, I am literally handing you.
They're best friends. Like, they really are.
They are way more than best friends. Like,
what, lovers?
Yes. No, yes. There's always been that, like, back and forth of, like, potential, and I don't think they've ever said it clearly, but they do address it in this show in a way that is still a little vague, but I do think solidifies a few things.
They're best friends. We're just gonna leave it at that.
Better friends than we are, that's for sure.
Who said we're good friends?
Jordan, you're my best friend.
That's sad.
It really is. And I'm lying.
And I'm lying. No, but like literally, like I was just telling him, I cannot wait to watch this.
I
want to feel that nostalgia. So like I'm going to wait for Saturday morning to get some cereal, get a Pop-Tart.
Ooh, what cereal? What cereal?
Hey. Fruit Loops.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Actually, no, not Fruit Loops. Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, I'm not a Pebbles guy.
Not a Pebbles guy.
That's too loose and they get too soggy too quick. I don't eat fast enough.
Oh, wait,
I'm a
wait,
slow
wait.
Eater.
No. What am I doing? I'm actually wrong on all those tricks. Trix are my favorite cereal.
Huh.
Yeah. I love because Trix are for kids.
Interesting.
So literally I want to get a bowl of cereal, get me some Trix, fill up the bowl. You know, I don't like that much milk. I'm not a huge milk guy. I just like, you know, to wet the beak. And I'm going to turn on
X-Men 97.
And I'm going to turn on 97. I'm going to watch it.
How
long are the episodes?
30 they're 30 minutes, but it's like perfect. A full 30 minutes.
Okay.
It's not like 22. Yeah. It's just, I can't, it just does everything right. And it shows that you can do everything right. So why aren't other people doing everything right? That's what I want to know.
And like the thing with like this and Deal or No Deal Island, it's like you can do nostalgia things
and update them
make them better and not make it feel like a cash grab.
Yeah.
All right. And for our big topic today, Hollywood Reporter came out with something that like really piqued my mind, and I just wanted to, you know, talk engaged and see what you think. They said TV has peaked. It's done. It's hit its high point.
We're no longer in the golden age of television.
Yes, it's now going to crash and come down.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we saw some of this writing on the wall. What's really sad about this is I personally think that this is a little bit of a reaction to the strikes. I think personally, so what this article gets into is basically that there are less and less scripted television shows being ordered year over year.
And so it says that the volume of US series is half since 2019.
Yeah. And I'm interested. I'm interested to see this because we've seen a lot of these like 1-2 season shows that just go nowhere, right? We've seen a lot more limited series. We've seen a lot more people making these shows on streaming that are not very connected, or they're easily dismemberable. The contracts are simple. They're like half season contracts with these actors. That's why on Sabrina you were getting A and B seasons. Like, what do you mean season 7A? Fuck off. But that's how.
That's what's happening with Invincible right now.
Yeah, it is what is happening. And I mean, I think that whole thing is actually to do with the fact of advertising.
Yes.
Because
we talked about that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they wanted to hold it. And just hold it there until people were forced to watch ads. That goes into it as well.
Yeah, and that's why I really think that this is kind of a problem. I don't think that there's less writers out there. I don't think there's less directors, people who want to make these kind of like TV shows. And like I think every TV show has its own niche audience. Like, I know for a fact you're a huge Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Buffy, especially at the beginning, was not a great show.
Wrong. Incorrect.
But when you give shows like that time,
yes,
and give it like nourishment.
Yes, because I'll give you that. Season two was much better than season one.
Yeah.
It
they become better, but like you don't get shows like, you know, Friday Night Lights. Like you don't get like.
But so, and here's the thing, and here's what I actually think. Like what the biggest upset was streaming. Streaming is what actually caused this huge upset in television, because back then, television shows, we talked about how they used to be 22 episode seasons, yeah, and how they used to be shot. When you shot a pilot season, you would shoot the second season with it. It would be, yes, part of the thing. So if you didn't renew it, you would still have something to put out during that time slot while you figure things out. And if, and then if for some reason the ratings popped off, you would continue the show and you would be renewed for a third season. If it didn't, you would show the show, scrap it for parts, call it good, maybe do a reshoot here or there just to end things.
We're making money off reruns.
And they were making money off reruns. And so they didn't really have this financial reason to not do both seasons, because it was, if you're going to give it a chance, give it a real chance. But we don't give shows chances anymore.
And I actually think because TV, those TV shows, like the ones that like nobody like, oh, this is not hitting. Mm-hmm. This is not going to make the 7 o'clock, the 8 o'clock night. I got to fill like an 11 a.m. slot. I got to fill a 10 a.m. slot.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching this channel.
But now it's...
Or our secondary channel.
But now there's no original program. There's hardly any original programming during the day.
Yeah.
God. No. It's all infomercials and ads and people selling ad space. It's all it's basically become with cable.
Yeah, it's just straight up ad space. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, because... Oh, cut this out. Ugh. Woo.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm dying.
You should stop smoking.
I should. Ooh. Vince Staples, he came out. Again, the Vince Staples show is an amazing show. Everybody should watch it. It's 5 of his episodes.
Which is what for what?
Exactly. So he came out on an interview, and Netflix said it's a limited series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 5 30-minute episodes. Vince Staples came out on a couple of shows, and he was just like, bro, I know people who make these 8, 10, 12 episodes and then get cut. Don't get anything like that. So he's like, I just want to put out 5 episodes for Netflix, mm-hmm, see if they like it. And if it gets renewed for a second season, then cool. Nobody's trying to do 20 episodes anymore. And that is the huge problem.
Well,
he literally said, he was like, you guys don't realize, but hitting that like button that you like this show on, mm-hmm, Netflix is actually so important to see if a show gets a second season or not.
That's crazy.
Because I never hit the like button.
I don't ever hit the like button.
Yeah, the algorithm figures out what I like. Why do I need to hit the like button? But he's like, no, if you don't hit that like button, like...
It could end the show. Well, and so that's kind of... And honestly, where I really think this all comes down to is just money. Because it costs a lot less to make a 5-12 episode season than a 22 episode season. It costs less. And where does that money go? Straight to the CEOs and all the executives at the top. And they're not taking a pay cut. They are not doing it. They're not going to be like, you know what? I don't need my hundreds of millions of dollars. I would like to give it to the people who are actually making the shows for me. That doesn't happen. And we know it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen willingly, which is why we had the strikes and all of that.
And that's why I call it the Disney effect. Because you got all these Marvel movies, all these big budget movies, and then they started to realize, okay, oh, Iron Man's not there anymore. Ratings are starting to go down. We're not making as much money as we used to. What's happening? Oh, now we got to cut this show, cut this show, yeah, cut this show. And like, granted, I'm not going to say that like, She-Hulk is the most amazing TV show. Like, I'm not saying like Moon Knight is the most amazing TV show or anything that's came out. And like,
but they were fun and they were different and they were for different kinds of people.
And I believe, to be honest, if they just weren't all connected, I think they would all been fine shows.
Fair enough.
Because like, you're thinking, how does She-Hulk fit in this entire fucking universe? How does Moon Knight fit? Like, you're trying to figure all that out. Mm-hmm. But like, if it was just like X-Men 97 by itself, yeah, its own thing, everybody would be fine with it and still watch it. And so because of that Marvel effect, you have the whole IPs matter. And so we are only going to like renew shows, because I've seen a lot of shows taken off streaming. A lot of shows that I'm like, oh, this is good, gone.
Yeah.
Watchmen is now off of Max.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Because they don't want to pay the royalties.
It's funny that they would take Watchmen, a show, especially that show specifically about like Black rights, Tulsa, all that, and reparations. Reparations was a big part of that show. And they're like, you know what we don't want to do is pay these fucking black people their royalties.
Yeah. No, and so like it they're just now just taking things just strictly off streaming. And because they're like, A, we don't want to pay for these things, but also,
well,
what is this two seasons? What's this one season?
And
like?
I don't know if you saw this, but Martin Scorsese came out and talked about, you know, these studios, Warner Brothers, Warner Media, they have been, you know, shelving these movies that are completely done, edited, complete, ready to be put out. And they are like, we would rather take the tax write off on it and shelve it than do anything like, maybe not make a profit on it, or maybe not make as much of a profit as we would have.
Oh, what's the wolf from Bugs Bunny, Daffy? What's his name? Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, because he had that
whole movie, and they said that it's a great movie. It's funny. It's amazing. Cut. It's done.
Yeah,
we don't want to show it.
And you're telling me
that girl got a movie.
Well, and you're telling me in the world of Madam Web and Morbius, like, I mean, it's not in the same world. I understand that. In our physical world, where Morbius got made, Batgirl was that bad. We're gonna pretend, or let's go the same world. Fucking Batman versus Superman. Batman versus Superman. And Batgirl was so bad that we couldn't release it. Fuck off. No, it wasn't. You cannot tell me it was worse than that.
But
I
like,
just but
here's shows like here's some shows that just got cut instantly by the end of 2023. Big Sky was a brand new show.
Yeah.
Like I saw a bunch of commercial for it, cut. Goldbergs, loved the Goldbergs. Great show, cut. NCIS Los Angeles, cut. SWAT was canceled, came back. Young Sheldon, it's time. I'm not going to lie. Young Sheldon.
I mean, he's almost old enough to be the adult in the show, so
yeah. Nancy Drew had a show, cut. 9-1-1, cut from Fox, but now ABC got it. The Resident, cut. I like The Resident.
I never watched it.
Oh, good show.
I've heard
watch
it's
it.
Good.
Watch it. Guys, I still watch cable TV because, you know what, sometimes they got it good. Magnum P.I., not that long, cut. Young Rock, it was all right.
That was fast.
But exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's so fast. Streaming. Let's see. Physical, Swagger, Big Shock, The Mighty Ducks got cut. Muppets Mayhem got cut. National Treasure, I'm pretty sure there's only one season.
I loved that show. It had its flaws, but Catherine Zeta-Jones as the fucking villain against all of these, like, 21-year-old kids running around the world. It was so good. And it was told from a Mexican girl's perspective, so it wasn't the nationalist whitewashing. It went around the world and went touched on other stuff. It wasn't all America all the time, you know, whatever. And so I thought it was really good. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to watch a show about a smart Mexican girl fighting Catherine Zeta-Jones, I guess.
Facts. A black lady sketch show, only had two seasons, got cut.
I love the black lady sketch
Reservation
show.
Dogs, cut. And that was actually very highly, like, critically.
Wait,
acclaimed.
Really?
Yes.
I am very surprised by that. I didn't know that.
How I Met Your Father. What, they only had, what, one season, two seasons?
Two seasons. And it,
yes.
God, I like that show, too. That's a thing. No, like,
Gossip Girl? Cut.
Yeah, after two seasons. And they left. They ended on a bunch of cliffhangers. That story was not complete.
Titans, Warrior, Pennyworth, Doom Patrol, a lot of the Warner Brothers.
I was so depressed about Doom Patrol because I was watching it. I recently finished it, and I was watching it, and I was like, when's season 5 going to come out? And they were like, nope, that was it. And I was like, oh, no.
Sex Education got cut. Yeah. Mindhunter got cut. Like, Disenchantment got cut. Like, so, again, oh, yeah, I forgot. Pitch Perfect had a TV show. I forgot about that.
I did not watch that show. I think I tried to watch it once. Boomer Goes to Germany.
Yeah, no. I'm good. But this all goes back
As long as P-Valley is not on that list. God, I know they're going to cancel it soon. I know they're going to cancel it soon. It's so good, though. I love P-Valley.
And so, to be honest, I think this is what's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is these corporations have poured a lot of money into streaming.
Yes.
And streaming is costing them more than they thought it would.
They all thought they could be Netflix. And that's the thing, is like, Netflix was supposed to be the only streaming thing. And people and these companies were supposed to, you know, license their shows out to them.
Yeah.
Maybe get some advertising
they
out of it on Netflix.
Money, and
everybody makes money. Everybody's happy. But no, they were like, oh, well, if Netflix is doing this, and then Hulu also came on the scene, if Netflix and Hulu are doing this, then we just want our own piece of the pie. And you're starting to see that because a lot of these brands are like slowly retracting their stuff. However, what I find interesting is a lot of stuff that was on Max, is now over on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah, because they licensed it.
Because they wanted to make that fucking money.
Because, again, Warner Brothers was in debt. And that's why Discovery had to take over.
So honestly, if you're ever wondering why a TV show got cut, why it got canceled, it's because somebody up top decided that it was too expensive to make. That's it. That's why shows get cut. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's like other things about, like, you know, creative differences, blah, blah, blah. But we know about those. Those are few and farther between. I feel like every day a new show gets canceled and there's a whole fan base that is just gobsmacked. But that fan base just isn't large enough because we live on this exponential growth model. And it's, if you are not making more money, you are never allowed to make the same money last year that you made or the same money this year that you made last year. It is not allowed. If you are not growing, you are failing. And so these shows, if they aren't growing in their numbers, if they're not even if they're just maintaining their numbers, if another show comes out that at the same time or whatever, it takes up that space, because it is a little bit of it's a very saturated space right now with content and media and all that.
But the crazy thing is, it's let now because it's less.
No, yeah,
you
exactly.
See that there's now less scripted shows. And so I think, again, that's jobs gone.
Yeah.
That's people who are out of work. Just because, again, somebody's not making the most money.
Well, and Hollywood is also notorious for paying people poorly because they can. And they set in the systems, like, if you know a lot of places like CIA, WME, you have to start in the mailroom making minimum wage. You have to start there to work there. Can you live in LA on minimum wage? No, you cannot. It is very difficult. It is very hard. And so you have to have that system of wealth built into your life that you can work for minimum wage for a certain amount of time before you get to go up. And at the end of the day, it just all comes down to greed. Could they pay these people more? Yes. These are the people who are helping get these shows made. They're agents and stuff, but they are also helping people get made. And it's insane to me how greedy we are, how awful we are, and how... It's not about art. It's about money.
And that's what I am kind of like sad about, is because like some of these shows, it's like, I understand maybe not from, like, again, like a show like Friday Night Lights should not have lasted as long as it should have.
How long did it last? I don't even know.
I think there's like six seasons of it, and it definitely should have stopped after season two. Well, I mean,
there's only four years of high school.
Yeah.
You had to really follow these kids. It's like Glee. Glee was five seasons, and it should have been three.
Yeah, okay, Friday Night Lights was five seasons. That was one season off.
Okay.
So, yeah, but same with Glee. But, like, the thing is, we keep doing American Idol, which definitely should have stopped by now.
Who's watching American Idol?
I don't know who's watching American
Idol. I couldn't tell you who was on the last, like, 10 seasons of American Idol. And I don't think that's my fault. I think that's ABC's fault. Because they're not doing it correctly. Why are these kids or these people on... why are they not all on over TikTok? Why are you not shoving them down our throats?
Yeah,
doesn't make sense to me.
So, we got American Idol that got, you know, 20 seasons going on. Like, we got, you know... Grey's Anatomy, that's still going on.
I don't understand. I kind of, now that it's gotten to 20, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will watch Grey's Anatomy. I've never seen it. I've seen one episode because...
I used to watch the fuck out of it.
A guy I was seeing, he made me watch the first episode, and I was like, okay, thanks. But I've never really wanted to get into it, but I don't know. It's gotten to the point where I was like, 20 seasons, they must be doing something right, or it's just actually making that much money. But I mean, this isn't scripted television, but
yeah.
Also, reality television plays a big part in that. It's cheaper to make. It's so cheap to make.
And that's why, like, I see, again, like, Hulu has, like, all basically, like, the competition shows from, like, ABC, Fox
all that.
And stuff like that.
Well, it's all the same company.
I just see a churn of different new reality shows.
And a lot of new game shows.
It's all game shows.
It's, like, really weird,
like,
random game
shows.
Why
does Rob Lowe have the floor? Like, what are we doing?
Didn't Jane Lynch just start one? I don't know. Maybe.
Like you said, they're cheap to make. I don't have to hire writers. I don't have to hire this person. There's less for, like, reruns and stuff like that. So
every time we cue the cameras up, it's a start over. It doesn't matter. Like, what if we had a bad episode last week? We could just have a good episode this week. Like, it's so simple, and like you said, churn and burn. It just goes.
I'd rather have the potential of somebody winning like $50,000 than paying one writer $50,000. And that's...
I mean, yeah, but that's what you and I think are in agreement that it all just comes down to money and greed.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people want to believe that Hollywood is about art and expression and it's all of these things, but at the end of the day, Hollywood is a business, and it is
business.
fully backed by the modern standards of capitalism. It has the money, it has the power, and it has the influence, and it's not going to give it up anytime soon.
So, So, tell us what you guys think. Do you think that TV has reached a peak? That
it's downhill from here?
It's just going to be downhill from here. We're going to go back to where we're only watching three shows and everything else is just crap.
God, am I going to have to be left alone with my thoughts? I guess I'm just going to have to go over to TikTok like they don't want me to. That's the thing. Is if you're not going to be providing the programming, I'm going to go elsewhere to find it.
Be a normal millennial and watch YouTube every day.
That's so weird to me. I don't get the YouTube thing, but I know a lot of people who do it.
I watch YouTube every single day.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's not crazy.
I know it's not crazy. I know it's not crazy, yeah. But I do not watch YouTube like that.
Love it. But yeah, so that's going to be the end of our episode. Again, please like, subscribe. Please hit the like button. This is Double Trouble Features. I'm your host, Jordan.
And I'm the other host, Joe.
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 All right. Thank you guys for listening again. Okay. Please find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere where you get your podcasts.
And tell your friends if you want to hear about us, if you like hearing from us, tell your friends about us.
Yeah. Again, we know something about the screen. This is Double Trouble Features.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.